Auckland Grey Power is pleased to sponsor this edition of Senior Focus.
Hello, this is Richard Barter with you. Happy to be with you for the next half an hour on the Senior Focus slot. And as usual, we will be talking about transport-related issues. Now, yesterday, I was fortunate enough to attend what was called a Smart Transport Forum. And this was run by the Sustainable Business Network. And we heard a lot about smart transport. What is smart transport? Well, recent decades have seen a great development in various technologies relating to transport. Once upon a time, you would hand over a shilling and get a bus ride. Today, you probably have a hop card if you live in Auckland, a snapper card in Wellington, or you may have another type of card in different parts of the country, and that enables you, in the case of Auckland, to jump on a train, jump on a bus, a ferry, and more recently, you're able to go from one to another and not have to pay for separate journeys, but from the time you started to the time you tagged off, that will be counted as one journey. And so generally things are getting easier. The other thing that's come more recently is this concept of ride share. And the most common and the largest one that we sort of come across here is Uber. I don't know how many of you have tried Uber. I don't use it very often, not in New Zealand, but what happens, I've got a little application on my phone. When I want to ride somewhere, I will start the Uber app up and type in where I want to go, and it knows where I am because there's a GPS chip in my phone which connects to different satellites. So the Uber driver knows where I am, and he'll come and pick me up and take me to where I want to go. The payment is all made because the application has my credit card details. And when I get out of the car, I get emailed a receipt with a little map of where I've been, which is very, very convenient when I'm doing this for work, because I can then just forward that to my accountant. But not only that, I get the opportunity to rank or to score the experience and the driver. And this feedback, and he does the same for me too. So if I'm a terribly rude passenger, I'll get a very low score, and this may indeed show up the next time I want to ride, and drivers may choose not to take me for a ride. Likewise, if a driver gets a very poor score consistently, then it's quite possible that when I'm making a choice of drivers to take me somewhere, I may choose not to pick that particular driver. So these things are becoming more and more common. There's a New Zealand company doing this. I think it's called Zoomy. I haven't tried that. And there are more options for Uber. Uber Eats is a common one, which you might find incredible to believe. But with Uber Eats, you can order a pizza using the app, and a Uber driver will pick up that pizza and deliver it to you for what probably is quite a reasonable sum. And that way you don't have to get into your car, drive down to the pizza parlour and wait for your pizza and bring it back. I saw, it's not in New Zealand yet, but Uber Freight, where you have some goods to be moved from one part of the country to the other, and you can do it on the same type of application where you can book space on a truck and Uber Freight will take it for you. thing about all of the means of getting around that I've described today, they have one thing in common. All of them have a driver. And those drivers represent to the owner of the business one of the more significant costs to moving either people or goods around the place. And this is the one of the main drivers of, forgive the pun, the topic of today's talk, and that is autonomous vehicles. So an autonomous vehicle is one, a fully autonomous vehicle is one that does not require a driver. In fact, fully autonomous vehicles don't even have a space for a driver. You may, if you've travelled internationally, been through Singapore Airport, here's an example of the little trains that take you between terminals. They don't have a driver, so you just jump in and you can sit right at the very front and go from one terminal to another without a driver. Technically, that is an autonomous vehicle. I experienced the same with the public transport train service in Vancouver. Their trains do not, that take people around the city on a number of the lines, don't have train drivers. So, autonomous vehicles, there are, I guess, many different types of potential vehicles there. But the most likely to become driverless in the future, and we're not talking about tomorrow, we're not talking about next year, we're actually talking about a considerable distance, considerable number of years away. Probably you and I won't actually experience them very often, and we won't see very many, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But they're most likely to be the types of vehicles that have drivers, in other words, commercial drivers, someone who's being paid to drive. And this will increase the accessibility of people that can't drive themselves to get around, and at the same time, technically reducing the cost. We'll wait and see if it makes a big difference in the cost to us. The proponents also feel that it will reduce the demand for off-street parking. I guess if the already Uber can mean that you don't have to have a car if you are living handy to the places you often go. They say that that will increase road safety and the capacity. Technically, you can have a bunch of autonomous vehicles driving along the road with just a few inches between them because they are promised to be very smart and they are continually talking to the cars around them, and if one in front stops, well, they will stop within an instant. They will change the whole nature of parking. If you are being dropped off somewhere rather than taking your own car, that means that you don't need a car park as such. You just need a safe place to be dropped off and or picked up. But there'll be a great demand for those safe places to be dropped off and picked up. Well, we will carry on in just a minute, but before we do that, let's listen. These are pretty outlandish type ideas we've been talking about this morning. So, How High the Moon is the song that we're going to listen to now by Sarah Vaughan. I hope you enjoy it. Bye for now.
But I'm gonna sing them anyway. I hope
The Moon by Sarah Vaughan. That is one of my favourites. Isn't she just marvellous? Hey, we've been talking about autonomous vehicles and the idea of a driverless car or truck is one that is being trialled in different parts of the world. In some countries, mainly in Europe and parts of the US, there is legislation which allows trials of these. They will typically always have, at this stage, someone sitting there able to take over should things go wrong. One of the common features of the areas where these trials are happening is very good roads with very clear markings on the roads. Autonomous vehicles require a very clear and unbroken or lines that they can recognise. So they have little cameras which sense where those lines are and enable them to stay in the lane. Now, this technology is not uncommon. I've been in cars and trucks that have what they call lane departure warning sensors. And when those sensors are active, if you move towards and start to cross the white line on the left-hand side of the road, an alarm will go off, sometimes a little flashing light. And quite often, certainly in the truck that I was a passenger in, the driver was required to actually press the button to turn that off to ensure that he hadn't fallen asleep and he was able to make sure that he was correctly positioned in the lane. You heard me talk about the scenario before we heard Sarah Vaughan about autonomous vehicles following very closely because their ability to stop quickly if the car in front stops. Well, this is called autonomous braking, and that indeed is common in many new models of cars now and many trucks. And it's a situation where you will have some kind of a little radar in the front of your car which knows how far away the car is in front of it. And when that car in front slows down, automatically the brakes in your vehicle are applied and you slow down too. I rented a car a little while ago that you could set the cruise control to set your speed at the speed of the car in front of you. Very convenient. And the other nice thing about that particular one was that you could also set the maximum speed for the area that you were travelling in, so that when you drifted down a hill, for example, you didn't go over the speed limit. Very handy. Now, I'm looking at a map here. In fact, a lot of what I'm talking to you today about is a research report published November 9, 2017 by M.R. Cagney. And it was some of their staff that presented this report yesterday that I'm speaking about. And in the beginning of the report, there is a map of New Zealand. You can tell it's New Zealand's. It's only showing the roads, but because we've got quite a lot of them, the shape of New Zealand is quite clear to see. The roads are marked in two colours. Some are blue and some are red. The blue colours, roads, were marked metal and unmetalled roads, and the red, sealed roads. And what's very clear is that a lot of roads in New Zealand are not sealed, and so they don't have white lines. And so, technically, they would be no good for an autonomous vehicle, or indeed even for vehicles that are using the lane departure hardware. I have spoken to drivers who have told me that lane departure sensors get confused by the use of non-standard road markings in New Zealand. So I guess what I'm trying to say here is that it's going to be a long time before we are able to use these features in cars that are coming on board, new models. The idea of no driver is still a long way off. What you're hearing now is features coming on board are progressive steps towards this ultimate idea of a vehicle that doesn't even have a space for a driver. It was described to me once, the five steps to a completely autonomous vehicle, as starting out no feet, no hands, no eyes, no brain, and no driver. So in other words, today you've heard me talk about features which mean you don't really have to use your feet. The cruise control and the automatic braking pretty much eliminate the need to use your feet if you're on a long distance trip. The lane departure, in some vehicles, the car will correct itself today if you are moving out of the lane. So you could take your hands off the steering wheel and it would keep the car in the lane. Not as common as the autonomous braking and the cruise control. What is very uncommon today is the idea that you wouldn't have to look where you're going. Now, there are, as I said, tests around the world where that is the case, and drivers or test drivers and vehicles are getting around on the roads, and the cameras and the sensors in the vehicle sense what's going on around them. They are continually gathering information about the road. They know exactly where they are because of the GPS devices that I talked about before on my phone. They have extensive maps and information about the roads in their computers, and that combined with the sensors that can detect things moving, can detect people, can detect other vehicles, can talk to other vehicles. In other words, they might not be able to see that car coming down a side street, but because of the internet and the knowledge that where cars are in the computer, they know that as they come to this intersection, that this particular car will be waiting for them there. Sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? Well, I guess time will tell as to just how soon that's going to happen. So we've heard a little bit about some of the things that may need to be done. Certainly we need the compatible regulatory framework. There are issues involved if there is, for instance, a crash with a driverless car. So we have to understand what and who is responsible for that. If you got hurt, well, who's going to be responsible for that? As we've heard, there are very different types of hardware, different types of features coming on board our cars today. It's going to be important if we're going to be driving a car that we understand just how they work and what is needed. We've heard that autonomous vehicles will initially substitute private vehicle travel for taxis and perhaps deliveries. You'd be interested to know that over the last 15 years, the number of cars coming into Auckland have not significantly increased. You may wonder about that in terms of congestion, but the number of people that have come in have grown by 30%. And so what we're going to see in a big city like Auckland, big by New Zealand standards, is not, in terms of coming into the city, it's going to be not so much a lot of autonomous cars, but more autonomous minivans, taxis, buses and trains. So public transport is going to be the main area where we're going to see the changes in technologies. Hey, we're going to listen to another song by Sarah Vaughan now, and it's called Just One of Those Things. Thank you.
Just one of those things. If we thought a bit of the end of it when we started painting the town, we had been aware that our love affair was too hot to tickle down. So goodbye, dear, and amen. Here's hoping we meet now and then. It was great fun, but it was
Sarah Vaughan, Just One of Those Things. She has to be one of my favourites. So what is a world that may have autonomous vehicles going to look like? What are our cities going to look like? And how long is this going to take to happen? As I said earlier, it's unlikely to happen in your or my lifetime. I've got a 7-year-old grandson and a 6.5-month-old granddaughter. I think the time will come eventually when they will definitely be making most of their trips in autonomous vehicles. The writers of the report that I've been talking about mention several phases that this is likely to happen. Over the next few years, and in fact until 2040, we may see a few taxis and delivery vans happening. In this time, we would expect to see some changes in our rules that would allow these types of vehicles to operate. The second phase, they talk about 2040 to 2055. They expect to see these vehicles becoming more autonomous, still not being used by private families and the likes of you and I, but more extensively by people that are having things delivered in taxi companies. In fact, driverless taxis will become quite common on our roads. And the land use changes that we talked about before in terms of the need for drop-off and pick-up points rather than lots of car park buildings, you will start to see some changes there. The third phase they talk about, 2055 to 2070, and they're crazy numbers, aren't they? They're just too far away for me to try and think about. There we'll expect to see most private travel happening in autonomous vehicles. And in the dense urban areas, that'll be happening, again, by mass transit type trains and buses and trams. And most of the large-scale off-street parking infrastructure will be repurposed into other higher-value uses. So what will an integrated transport network look like? Well, pedestrians will continue to walk between many places. Hopefully they and cyclists will feel safer and will continue to walk and ride, to be active and enjoy the outdoors. Autonomous vehicles will provide flexible door-to-door transport. Trains will continue to provide rapid transport between suburbs. And buses will continue to provide high-capacity transport along our main corridors. And we're sort of seeing the beginnings of those mass transit-type ways to get around in Auckland, with the trams being talked about a lot now. We've got some busways. The North Shore busway has been happening for a long time. It is quite conceivable that that will become a tramway with potentially no driver. There are issues that we've talked about. Not all of our roads are going to be suitable. We've got rules that need to be changed. We've got to sort out the issues of liability. We're going to have differences in the way whether people own or they don't own cars. So a lot to think about and a lot to consider. And we're going to watch this space. And in the meantime, we know that gradually these changes will continue to happen and the ways we get around will continue to change. So I hope you've enjoyed our time together today. I look forward to our next time. This is Richard Barter with the Senior Citizen Slot. Goodbye for now. Thank you.
Auckland Grey Power is pleased to sponsor this edition of Senior Focus.